are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
The Bible is a complex collection of texts filled with poetry, prophecy, parables, and historical accounts. Does believing in its inerrancy require a literal interpretation of every word, or is there room for figurative language and metaphor? So we are going to be exploring with Pastor Mazurera how the interpretation plays a role in ongoing debate over scriptures inerrancy. Pastor Mazu, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you?
I am good. Thank you so much for coming through Mbundisi.
Sure. It's a pleasure.
Indeed. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we come again before the throne, kindly asking that you may allow the Holy Spirit to be upon us so that whatever it is we are going to discuss, he may be there to guide us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, we've been learning a lot this week regarding the authority of the Bible, Mpundisi. And today we're going to be touching on the issues of the interpretations, you know, the figurative as well as the literal. I promise we're not going to speak about the 144,000. So how do different interpretative approaches such as literal, figurative, algorithmical affect the belief in the Bible's inerrancy?
Oh, okay. Yeah. In fact, I think 60% of the challenges that we do have when it comes to understanding scripture and interpreting scripture it revolves around what you've just said.
Okay.
Basically, you need to appreciate the fact that there are people who believe that everything else that you are looking at as you open scripture must be taken allegorically. Okay. Allegorically.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they say it has a secondary meaning. They refer to it as the seed and its husk.
Mm.
Like, you know, the wheat, you know, when you harvest wheat, there is this outer shell, and then the inside part is the one that we eat.
Mm.
We take off the outer shell and then eat the inside. So they say the scripture is like that.
Okay.
What you are looking at is the outside husk.
Mm.
You need to take it off and take the inside. That's exactly what you should be looking at from Genesis 1 verse 1 to Revelation 22 verse 21. That's what they say. I should also be quick to say that is far from the truth.
Mm.
In fact, we believe in the plain reading of scripture. The very first, port of call when you are reading scripture, the very first assumption, if I should call it, is that scripture must be taken literally and as plain as it reads.
Okay.
Then we put on a disclaimer and say, unless it is very apparent and clear that some hidden meaning is intended, some symbols have been employed, some allegory have been alluded to.
Mm.
If it's not apparent and clear, you take it as plain as it reads, and you'll discover that a greater percentage of scripture actually must be taken plainly and literally as it reads. We do have apocalyptic literature, like the book of Daniel and Revelation.
Okay.
We understand that generally apocalyptic literature is symbolic.
Okay.
That's the type of writing in scripture that we do the opposite of what I've just said.
Mm.
When you're looking at apocalyptic literature, the basic assumption is I must take these things symbolically.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere in scripture, the basic assumption is I must take these things literally.
Mm-hmm.
So besides apocalyptic literature, we also have got parables. If the Bible mentions this is a parable, then we need also to appreciate the fact that it may not be taken literally.
Mm.
Of course, the parables and the stories, especially that Christ employed, you would take, examples from day-to-day life.
Mm.
Okay? Day-to-day life, and then you'd express certain truths using what people were used to. It may not necessarily mean there was a sower who went forth to sow that was known, that Some of his seed fell on thorns, but it was something that was expected in people's day-to-day life.
Sure.
Hence, it needs to be interpreted. To discover that the disciples would often come to him and then say, please tell us the meaning of this. What exactly were you trying to say?
Mm.
But generally, we take scripture literally and plainly as it reads, unless it is very apparent and clear that it's a parable, it's apocalyptic literature, and a secondary meaning must be driven and reached at.
So with that, Mfundisi, can a passage now be interpreted figuratively while upholding the belief of biblical inerrancy?
Yes, as long as the passage in its context and everything else points us to it not being literal and plain.
Okay.
Actually, if it points to us, if all the pointers that tell us that this is apocalyptic or this is a parable or this is an allegory, this is a, you know, as long as they are there in that particular passage in its context, then it's actually the perfect way of interpreting scripture to take it figuratively. Because if you're going to take it plainly when the pointers are telling you that this must not be taken plainly, then you're also wrong in your method of interpreting and you'll come up with the wrong message after all.
Sure. So what are some of the challenges that we find or people can find in maintaining a belief in the inerrancy when dealing with complex or ambiguous text in the Bible?
Right. Normally, what causes that is the fact that people tend to ignore the basic hermeneutical principles. And when we talk of hermeneutical principles, we're talking of the principles that must be applied when you are interpreting scripture.
Okay.
For us to come up with the conclusion that, hey, this is a difficult passage, someone is coming with his or own interpretation, this one with his or any understanding, it's because one of them would have ignored the principles of interpreting scripture.
Okay.
For example, the very first principle says it's sola scriptura.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Bible and the Bible alone. Before you consult any commentary or another person or what Pastor Mazwera said, stick to scripture itself.
Okay.
Stick to scripture. Read the Bible. It can give you its own hints and clues for you to be able to understand it. Then that one is often used together with the second principle, which is tota scriptura. If you say scripture and scripture alone, we do not need any commentaries here for us to understand this passage, fine. But also tota scriptura, we want to look at scripture in its totality. What does the Bible teach about this particular subject in this passage that we are looking at overally? What does the Bible say elsewhere? Because if you are going to look at that particular passage or out of the biblical context, you are definitely going to come up with the wrong message. For example, somewhere it appears as if the Bible says, let him who is dying give him drink alcohol to die. Okay? Yeah. And then you take that text and you ignore the tota scriptura principle. Definitely you're going to give people alcohol. But if you then say, no, scripture in its totality, what does it teach about alcohol?
Yeah.
You'll discover that, then there is a problem in my understanding of this particular text, because in that other text the Apostle Paul is saying, don't be deceived, even those who are drunkards will not enter the kingdom of God. So the Bible, remember, God is too wise to contradict himself. If you see such apparent seeming contradictions, then it means it's me, the reader, who has a problem. It's not God. There is a principle that I have ignored, which if I had employed, I would see how these verses can be reconciled and end up saying the same thing. So these principles must be followed and adhered to. But a lot of the times, people don't want even to hear about those principles. They just think, me and the Holy Spirit, we can do it on our own. But it's the Holy Spirit which inspired these very same principles. Because Christ would ask people, how do you read? You see, how do you read? Which means the methodology is very important. But people think, I know it doesn't matter. It's for people who have gone to these corrupted schools theology schools. We will do it on our own without those principles. No. That's why Christ would ask, how do you read? How readest thou? Because the methodology is very, very important. It's very, very important.
Sure. Yeah, ne? The methodology is very important in Zulu. Yeah, I hope my listeners are listening. They are listening as well. Then, so what are some? How do the parables of Jesus Mfundisi, or other symbolic passages like the 144 Ngadlala in the passages, you know, passages in the Bible challenge or support the idea of inerrancy? Because I'm thinking that it's left for us for interpretation. Here is a parable of the sower. Here is a parable of the nine. It's left for interpretation, right? So how does it now still uphold the belief of inerrancy whilst it's left for interpretation?
Now, it's most of the times we are told that, and he told them this parable. Part which says this parable, and they want to take it literally. When the Bible itself has told you, he told them this parable. Now, if he told them that parable, within the same parable, elsewhere in Scripture, the parable is explained. Don't bring in your foreign explanation to what the Bible is saying. It's a parable because the Bible, the sola scriptura principle, the Bible and the Bible alone, it has got its own clues for us to be able to unlock and interpret those parables correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It's either immediately after that Christ will then explain. The sower represents this, the seed represented that. Mm-hmm. You can't bring in other different interpretations when you are being told by Scripture that this represented that and this represents that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of, most of the times, people are adamant and they want to ignore those hints and those clues that the Bible gives for its own allegories and parables to be interpreted correctly. People don't want that because they've got their own agendas to push. They've got their own theological agendas. They will ignore the clues that were given, the keys that were given by Scripture itself. Let me give you an example. When you're dealing with apocalyptic prophecy and those animals with horns, the Bible then says the animal that you saw represents the kingdom of this nation. And the horns represents 10 kings. And someone wants to ignore all that, and they want to bring in their own interpretation of the horn and of the beast. Yet the Bible has already guided us. The beast represents a kingdom. The horn represents a king and something like that. So it has to be consistent when you're now then applying the very same, symbols elsewhere within the realms of the same genre, if it is apocalyptic literature. You have to consistently apply the same principle in the clue that you've been given by the Scriptures itself. Don't come up with your own, keys to unlock what the Scripture gives.
Sure. Yeah, ne? Guning. So, Mfundisi, how then do we apply, this inerrant biblical truth to modern life while considering the diversity of interpretive methods? English beat me there. Because we are interpreting it differently. Our cultures play a role in how we interpret it. Our lack of understanding of Hebrew and Greek, Mfundisi, it plays a lot in us interpreting the Bible correctly. So how do we go about that? How do we apply those truths even though our interpretations are different?
Right. Application now may vary because of context, like you are saying.
Mm-hmm.
When you are applying, it may vary. Mm-hmm. But the foundation should not be different.
Mm.
The foundation should not be different. Mm. The foundation should not be different.
Mm.
In other words, let's say, for example, is the parable of what? The sower.
Yes. Okay?
We are told that some seed fell on that and some seed fell on that. It's very easy for people who are growing up in an agro-based economy to quickly appreciate and understand that parable.
Mm.
But someone who grew up in well-developed countries where they only see the products in the supermarket, they may not even appreciate why you would seed go on rock and some seed go in the thorns. Don't they have machines and whatever? Those could be the differences that may occur and the difficulties in understanding that may arise because of someone's background and context.
Mm.
But it should not affect how we then apply the meaning and the intended meaning to our lives, basically. Because the meaning must be the same, universal. It must be universal. If there is seed that fell on hard rock and the seed is representing God's word and the type of soil is representing the human beings, then it has to be universal. There is no way we are going to say in America the hard rock represents people who are very obedient, but in Africa it represents people who are disobedient. No, it cannot be. The challenge may only come in having to give someone a very strong background to the parable so that they appreciate what exactly Christ was talking about. Because some people, I understand, they don't even know how they end up having corn for them to eat, or how they end up having some beans or some groundnuts. Mm. But those that are growing in such environments, they're quick and easy. It's very easy for them to quickly appreciate that. That can only be the difference and the difficulty. But in terms of application and in terms of meaning and how God would want all of us to live, the template must be the same. The template must be the same. So it depends on where you are and how much background you need to give to your audience for them to be able then to appreciate the parable. Because Christ's audience was coming from the same background, so they had no challenges in appreciating. But today, in this modern age, it could be very, very different.
Thank you, Mfundisi. Thank you for the ones, you know, for this insight that you have given us. So wrapping it up, if someone missed everything, what would you want them to take home? And also, do offer a word of prayer.
I would want to say, please, let's not ignore the principles of biblical interpretation. Christ asked the question, how readest thou? That is a very pertinent and important question for us to ask ourselves even up to this day. How must I read the scriptures? And the principles are there, and we must apply them correctly.
Mm.
Okay, shall we pray?
Yes, please.
Our Father, we thank you once again for this moment. It is our wish and our prayer and our hope also that whatever we have discussed, it has helped someone towards the correct and accurate interpretation of your word. May the Holy Spirit continue to help us each and every day of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you. We'll meet tomorrow.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.